The restaurant critic Dave Lowry has ventured into the art of fiction, having just released a new book called Chinese Cooking for Diamond Thieves. Here's the story. Driving home after being kicked out of college, Tucker, our hero, meets and picks up the mysterious Corinne Chang at a rest stop. Infatuated and with nothing better to do, he ends up with her in St. Louis, where he gets a job as a chef in a Chinese restaurant. Even though he's a Lao Wai, a foreign devil, his cooking skills impress the Chinese patrons of the restaurant, and his wooing skills impress Corinne when she joins him there as a waitress. But when Chinese gangsters show up demanding diamonds they believe Tucker's kind of sort of don't call her a girlfriend stole, he and his friends, which luckily include two FBI agents, have to figure out just who is gunning for Corinne and how to stop them. Dave Lowry, welcome to Around Cincinnati. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
You have written a book, a novel, Chinese Cooking for Diamond Thieves. What was it that inspired you to deviate from the path of nonfiction? Have you had this book in your head for a long time?
Yeah, I suppose so. And I wanted to see if I could do it, sort of a new challenge. It's a lot easier to write fiction because you can just make things up. So I thought I would give it a shot.
It kind of crosses part of the North American landscape from Toronto to St. Louis, and the cities seem to play a role in the book, too, almost as characters.
Yes, I suppose so. I really wanted to try to get that element into it because I think the cities, especially in here in the United States and North America, really say a lot about character development. And I think it's, you know, when you write Japanese haiku, you have to have a seasonal word in it. And to me, writing a novel of this nature, those cities almost form the same sort of thing. They give the plot some kind of structure, and it adds an element that makes the whole thing sound more real to me.
What is it that you think that Americans in general could learn from Chinese cooking, Chinese restaurants? Is there anything philosophical or metaphysical about the whole experience of engaging the restaurant other than just for a quick meal?
I'm not real big on the what can we learn from other cultures. I think cultures can all learn from one another. Chinese culture is simply different. I don't think it's any better or worse. I do think that Chinese cooking offers a wide, wide variety that Americans could really benefit from. So when people talk about Chinese cooking, it's sort of like if we're talking about American cooking or North American cooking, and we're talking about anything from gumbo to clam chowder to fish tacos, Chinese regional cooking is remarkably varied. And I would hope that American diners would become a little more discriminating about what they order, what they want to try when they go to these places.
Yeah, it's difficult to do what you're proposing, I think, in that the menus in general in a lot of cities don't necessarily distinguish the regionality of the dishes or, you know, what characterizes Sichuan or Hokkien or Hakka.
It's right, not, that's not true. Like and when you go into a restaurant, they often will not cater to those tastes because they know that a lot of Americans won't like it. I was in a little tiny town in the middle of Missouri just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a Chinese-American restaurant, and I noticed that some Chinese kid came in. It was a college town, and suddenly this little menu, this hand-printed menu, was produced from under the counter, and they brought it over. And then when she gave us the menu in English, I pointedly walked over and picked up the other menu and sat down with it, and I gave her a cold stare, and she said something like, well, can you read Chinese? And I said something like, well, I'm not illiterate. So we proceeded to order off of that menu. And I think that's sort of a myth that all Chinese restaurants have this secret menu, but many of them do. And it's worthwhile, I think, for diners to ask, do you have a Chinese menu? And if they say yes, have them show it to you. And then if you can't read a single character, then say, what would you recommend? What's the most popular dish here among Chinese, the people who come who are Chinese? I think that's a good way to start.
Getting back to the book itself, are you envisioning any further adventures of Tucker and Corinne Chang?
I don't think so. I think that's an easy thing to do, and I have a couple of other manuscripts that are already finished and are with a publisher right now, but they're completely different. They're also fiction. But I don't like going to the well too many times. You create a good character, and then you move on.
I've actually owned for a number of years and read a good bit of a book you wrote, The Connoisseur's Guide to Sushi. And I must say, a pretty astounding, to me, encyclopedic work for people that are interested in learning about not just the food itself, but the origins and how to eat it and all. And I wonder if you have any perspective. I mean, it's really a kind of a book of ethnogastronomy.
Sushi is not about fish. Sushi is not about the toppings. Sushi is about the rice. The rice is how you judge sushi. And that's really where most of sushi makers in this country fall apart. We have an extraordinary variety of fish and freshness and all of that sort of thing. That's not the problem. The problem is that these people who are not very well trained do not know how to make sushi rice, sushi meshi. For instance, sushi rice is made with four ingredients: water, Japanese rice vinegar, and sugar. The vinegar and sugar changes from season to season. So you don't have the same sushi rice in January that you do in August. And really, it takes a very well-trained Japanese chef who can adjust his rice that way. But that's how you want to judge sushi. The second thing is that Americans are wasabi mad. They add a big old dollop of wasabi into their plate of soy sauce and stir it all up until it's this iridescent slur, and they stick the fish in there. And it's partly because our taste buds are so used to dramatic taste that we have to get that kick. But I would really encourage them to try sushi without the wasabi and get a taste for how the rice and the texture of the rice mixes in with the texture and the taste of the fish.
We're also probably better off not buying our sushi at the supermarket. Is that fair to...
It irritates me when people say, I had sushi down at the corner of a place and it didn't taste like it did in Tokyo. Well, yeah, no kidding. Your bouillabaisse that you had in some French restaurant in Cincinnati is probably not going to taste like the bouillabaisse in the south of France. You have to adjust your tastes accordingly. I don't expect sushi from the supermarket to taste like it does at a sushi place in Tokyo. But you're right, the caliber and the quality of sushi is still pretty poor in the United States.
Well, Dave Lowry, I want to tell you, it was a kick reading Chinese Cooking for Diamond Thieves. I want to thank you for being here with us.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
With its one-of-a-kind hero, Chinese Cooking for Diamond Thieves is perfect for anyone who loves cooking, Chinese culture, bad jokes, and young love. Diamonds are forever, unless Chinese mobsters decide they want them back first. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.